Right, we've got the first one out of the way. It could have been worse. It could have been a hell of a lot better. But now Sheffield United, after their opening day defeat to Crystal Palace, head to Nottingham and a match against Forest where we might have a slightly better idea of what United could look like for the forthcoming Premier League season. Yes, there remain gaps the size of River and Valley in the squad, but there is some confidence they will be plugged by the time the window closes in a couple of weeks. We can but hope. This is the Star Blaze podcast. I'm Chris Holt, and joining us as usual is Danny Hall, the Star Sheffield United writer, here to keep us informed as to what's going on at Shadcliffe ahead of a big night at the City Ground on Friday. Danny, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm excited now about the game after that rousing intro.
Well, I'm excited about it because I missed last week, so this will be the first time I've seen them this season. So I guess last week doesn't count if I didn't see it.
No, we'll go with that. I'm happy with that. I'm sure many United will be happy with that as well.
Yeah. We did cover this on Monday in the Monday review, so we'll not dwell too much on Palace. Aside from to say that we will be stunned, or will we, if all of that midfield starts tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I think that's fair to say. I think, as I said last week, I sort of understand the selection, you know, beforehand. You know, I think it's the easiest thing in the world to look back and say, you know, I don't know why that happened. I can understand the thinking, but I think it's fair to say from everyone who watched it that it didn't quite work, did it? You know, in terms of one shot. I mean, we talked about all this on earlier the week, didn't we? One shot on target, not particularly a great deal more created than that. Solid enough, but I think that now there's been one reinforcement in terms of the transfer market and one player in Vinicius Souza who's a week more up to speed. You know, he's more a week more in tune with his new teammates and with how United want to play. I'd be surprised if he wasn't on the team sheet tomorrow. Don't know that, obviously, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't named in the team, maybe to give a bit more defensive solid, just to give that extra bit of defensive solidarity, not more, because, you know, defensively United weren't particularly bad last Saturday. Yeah. I think it was going the other way that the issue was for me. So yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't start, possibly alongside Ollie Norwood in a sort of double pivot sort of thing, you know, to use that modern term, and then let, you know, possibly Gus Hamer, Anis Slimani, you know, the forward players kind of give a bit more license to go and make something happen, because that's what they need, to score goals, don't they? You know, it sounds the most obvious thing in the world to say, but if you don't score goals, you won't win games and you won't stay in the Premier League. So I think that they will, you know, not often a bit of parking the bus or anything like that. I think they will go out there and be positive. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to the occasion, really, after what happened last time, obviously, during the game, which was a really good hostile atmosphere during the game, and United stood up to that really well, and obviously won the game. You know, obviously I know they didn't go for it on the night, but they actually won the tie, didn't they, and forced it to go to penalties. I really enjoyed how they played that night. They could have been easily wilted in that atmosphere, that sort of intensity of everyone expecting Forest to just kind of complete the job, really, after going ahead as well. When I was actually in the away end, I was on paternity leave of all things in the away end. And when Johnson, I think it was, scored that opening goal and the City Ground was bouncing, wasn't it? Everyone thought, you know, there's no chance from here. But I think to come back from that showed a lot of character. And then obviously everything that happened afterwards, the unsavoury, not unsavoury, the disgusting scenes that happened, really, with Billy Sharp being assaulted and then everything that happened with Ollie McBurney. You know, I think there's a lot of, not bad blood there, but I think it'll make an interesting atmosphere.
It's certainly going to be a spiky occasion, shall we say.
Yeah, I think it would have been anyway. I think Hecky alluded to that yesterday. It's their first home game, by all accounts. Their fans got behind them last season to kind of help them stay in the Premier League. All that money they spent as well probably helped along the way, and the 45 players they signed helped them along the way as well. But I think it would have been a good atmosphere anyway. But I think all that sort of everything kind of chucked in the melting pot as regards last time and the sort of rivalry between the two clubs anyway. I think it'll be an interesting atmosphere. Interesting to hear a penny for the police's thoughts when he got moved to a Friday night from the Saturday.
I think a Saturday 3 p.m. would have been quite happy with, or maybe a lunchtime on a Sunday. But certainly a Friday night in Nottingham is going to be quite an occasion, I think, tomorrow night. On that, we'll talk a little bit about Nottingham Forest a bit later on. This week, we saw... So last week we had Hamer come into the club, but obviously it was quite late in the day and he wasn't going to play. Are we expecting to see him this week? He's a little bit different. As far as I'm aware, he's had a full preseason with Coventry, hasn't he? So he's not as if he's lacking in the same way as some of the others may have been.
Yeah, I think he's certainly ahead of a lot of the players that have come in. I think, if I remember right, he was injured in the playoff final, if I remember rightly. And I think he took a bit of time to get over that, but he's had minutes this season. I think he played for Coventry in the you know, at least one of their games so far this season. So he's had that sort of game time. So of course, came in. Was it yesterday? I'm losing track of days already in the build up to this one. So he's obviously not had any football since last season. But yeah, again, I'd be surprised if Gus Harmer, I believe, if Gus doesn't play at the City Ground in some form, purely because of what he can bring and what he offers. Really, he offers that sort of unpredictability, doesn't it? And that's something, going back to that midfield again last weekend, with all respect to those three boys that started in midfield, there isn't that sort of unpredictability, that sort of spark, that bit of magic that can come from nowhere. I don't think that's really there, those three strengths. I think that's not being too unkind to say, I don't think, or I hope not anyway. But I think Harmer does offer that something different, that bit of ingenuity, you know, a bit of moment of magic from somewhere. And that might be something, that will be something that United might need this season, you know, to sort of turn these tight games. Every game in the Premier League, or most games in the Premier League, will be so tight this season. And we saw it again, going back to last Saturday, I know we've done that quite a few times. Other than a brilliant cross from the right from Ayew, which came out of almost nowhere, that could have easily been a point on the board for United. And, you know, everyone's looking at that going, that's a decent start. But that bit of spark out of nothing to kind of create the yard of space and then fire across the box that was virtually undefendable decided the game. You know, that might happen a lot of times this season in a league that's pretty tight between a hell of a lot of teams. So, yeah, I expect him to play some part purely because of that, what he can bring. And obviously Unitedites and players and probably staff as well are desperate to get a first look at him because there's a lot of excitement there about Gus and what he can bring. As we said, he's a player that can sort of get fans off their seats and bring that sort of atmosphere to the stadium of, I don't know what's going to happen here, for better or worse. He will, I imagine, give the ball away. He will try things that don't come off. But, you know, we all kind of become football fans, don't we, for that bit of genius that does kind of get you off your seat and that you will remember that. Going back to a player who will come up against tomorrow night, Morgan Gibbs-White showed that, didn't he? When he was at Bramall Lane, he was capable of the extraordinary. He still scored one of the most remarkable goals I've ever seen in a United shirt against Middlesbrough, I think it was, that flick. That I'm still not quite sure how he had the audacity to see it, never mind pull it off. And yeah, they're the kind of players, aren't they, that everybody loves to see. And I think United are quite lucky to have one of those, or another one of those, in their ranks ahead of Friday night.
You spoke to the press you included, spoke to Paul Heckenbottom on Wednesday, which I was trying to work out what day we were on now, on Wednesday. Which was yesterday. And he spoke, among many things and many subjects, he spoke about Gus Hammer, and this is what he had to say.
Hammer, how do you see him fitting in and being deployed into this group of players?
Well, he's made good impression straight away in terms of his personality. They all have, the boys have. I think we've recruited some, good character into the squad, which is always important. we've signed him because of how he's been playing the last few seasons, so we want to see the same. He is all action. He loves to get on the ball. He's an energetic player. And he's fearless in that final third as well. He's got a lot of his assists from set plays. He's got good delivery, but he's got a lot of his goals either from distance or arriving in the box. So, we've signed him for the things that he is doing, which we like. We want to push him on getting in the box more to score more goals. He wants to do that as well. We're pleased with that.
He came in last week, and earlier on this week as well, there was another midfield addition to the squad in Tom Davies, who, it's fair to say, I'm only going by social media here, so I recognise that that's not always a good gauge of the general feeling, but it kind of gives you a bit of an idea sometimes. It just seems to be a bit split. And part of me wonders exactly what Sheffield United fans are wanting, really. Because, yeah. We've already been told there's not much money about there. So they're going to have to make... they're going to have to make signings that... are cheap, essentially, and they don't come much cheaper than free. If you're going to bring anybody in, you bring somebody in who's had well over 100 Premier League appearances. He's at a club where, let's be honest, in the time that he's been playing at Everton, they've been at the wrong end of the table. And I don't think it would be harsh to say that a position where Sheffield United are likely to be finding themselves for this forthcoming season. So he looks like, he knows what it takes. And he knows what it's like to be battling. I don't quite understand why some Sheffield United fans are turning their nose up at this signing.
No, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, I don't understand the negativity about it. I don't understand some of the things that you've seen, as you touched on there. 155, I think, his Premier League appearances, which is, more than double the highest number in the United squad at the minute. I think it's Baldock and Norwood, 70-odd apiece. So straight away there, Hecky touched on it yesterday. There isn't going to be an occasion this season that phases him. He's going to have come up against pretty much every opponent that that United will come up against this season. He will have been there before. He'll have been on that occasion. He'll have been on that stage. It strikes me as a bit of a typical Sheffield United signing in many ways. This is the sort of signing they've made under Chris before, in that players with a point to prove, and something to rally against, can be a really dangerous prospect. I think I think Tom, his career stalled a little bit. I think he'd admit that himself. I think he might have admitted that himself since, in terms of coming through with his boyhood club to a lot of fanfare and everyone talking about him. And then towards the end, it didn't quite work out. But still, you look at the fact that, Everton wanted to keep him. They offered him a contract. They said, listen, we want you to stay around here. And I think that shows a lot about his character as well. Touched on this with Hecky yesterday, that he could easily, and we've seen this before, players get used to that comfort zone of, the place they've always been. They've always been used to. They've been comfortable there. Uh, would have been easy, I imagine, for him to just say, you know what, I'll stay, turn that down and said, you know what, I want to make my way somewhere else. I want to play and prove myself again. I want to do all these things we've touched on. I want to, you know, from where he's been used to and in a different environment where he'll be judged more harshly, I would imagine, because he's come in as a player with that Premier League pedigree. People are now looking to him as that experienced player. I think he's on the 20s, but that number of games that he's played marks him out to leave that sort of comfortable environment that he's been in for so long. And I think that shows you something about his character. It's a deal we got told yesterday that's been in the pipeline for a long time. It's just a shame he wasn't in earlier to kind of get up to speed a little bit quicker. He's now going to have to get up to speed in the middle of a Premier League season, which is not ideal. But yeah, on the face of it, I think it's a signing that makes a lot of sense. A three-year deal is a big show of faith on both sides, really. And yeah, as I say, it sort of has hallmarks of a Sheffield United signing in terms of that something to prove. And as you say, you don't get much cheaper than free, so it certainly fits in the finances. Obviously, his wage structure fits in the budget as well. So yeah, I hope it works out because, as I say, he's obviously got that pedigree. You know, you don't play that long for Everton without being a damn fine player. But England under 21 caps, you know, being one of the most highly rated players in the country for a while. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't fully understand the negativity. Possibly understand the question if this question marks about his fitness, you know, that kind of thing, having been without a club. I understand that. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any question marks, but any sort of negativity about it, I don't fully understand, because, you know, I said that Premier League pedigree on a free, you know, there's not many better on the face of it value for money signings than that. So I just hope that he sort of backs that up now on the pitch, and I've no doubt that he will.
Let's get to the crux of this here. Do we think that Tom Davies strolling around with Dom Calvert-Lewin in, you know, like an extra from Starsky and Hutch at New York Fashion Week, is that part of the reason why there are some people not thinking that he's right for Sheffield United?
Possibly. Possibly, it's always hard to say.
I can't imagine Scousers are too much different than you know, people from Sheffield in terms of that.
I know, I was going to touch on this before as well, that he talked about his experience in the Premier League. He's experienced life at quite a similar club to Sheffield United as well. It's a down-to-earth, hard-working club, isn't it, Everton, as well as Sheffield United. Similar sort of people, I think, as well, in terms of that northern hard-working you know, attitude that they have. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two clubs. Possibly that is a reason. I couldn't tell you. It's not something, I don't think we'd be able to pull it off.
No, well, the way I see it is, if you've got the balls to dress like that, then you've got the balls to dig in a Premier League football match. I certainly couldn't carry it off.
No, fair play to him. But yeah, who knows? But like I say, I think it's important to judge footballers and what they do pretty much on the pitch, isn't it? That's the first and foremost thing where they should be judged. And if people are judging him on the kind of gear that he wears, then I don't think there's much we can do about that. There's not much we can do for them people. Yeah, on the face of it, looking forward to seeing how he does. I think it's a signing that makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Just hopefully he can back that up now. And I've got no doubt that he'll be able to do that.
I think if we get a picture of him getting the badge in, then the thing might settle down a wee bit.
Don't mind that.
Paul Heggenbottom again, talking about Tom Davies, obviously the signing came a few days before we spoke to him in the press conference, and Paul Heggenbottom had this to say about Tom Davies.
How long has this been an option for you, or he been an option for you?
Yes, first spoke with Tom, long time ago. Yeah, so he's always been there. He's sort of been hanging on, wanting to come and play for us, which has been good. Yeah, but as I said, we've obviously we've had our issues. We've but he's been patient enough to wait, and this weekend, like I said, we could push the button on a couple, and yeah, we're glad to get that done.
How much do you find a player keen to get his career back on track? Because I realise this happens quite a bit, but as a very young player, he was the highest of highs, and it's sort of dipped since then.
Mm. Yeah, I think, and that tends to happen, a lot of young players who have been come through at a club, it's no matter what happens, we try not to have that mindset here, but certainly, especially if a club's turning over managers, or there's lots of different managers, homegrown players or younger players in that squad can always, they always seem to be treading a certain way, and I don't know, I've not been in and around Everton, and I've not spoke to Tom about this, this is just my impression, but you can almost be the one that gets sacrificed, you can almost be the one that's always thought of as beneath, and then that begins to affect lots of things. So Tom was keen for a fresh start, regardless of the opportunity to stay at Everton, he was keen for a fresh start, and yeah, after we spoke, he's been, there's been other options, but he's been holding on for in the hope that we could get something done, and we've been able to do that. So yeah, we know we've got a hungry player. From our point of view, we've got a player who's played all his minutes in the Premier League, which is a bonus for us. So, you know, no occasion, no venue, no team is going to faze him, because that's the only thing he knows. But from our point of view, he's really hungry to experience something new, to learn a different way of playing. Yeah, and he's been really excited about it.
It's fair to say we probably won't see Tom Davies for a couple of weeks. I would have thought, given that, that I'm not saying Sheffield United's style of play is absolutely unique to anyone else, but they do have a very particular way of playing, and Paul Heckenbottom has already stated last week that there were some players just not quite ready and kind of at ease with the shape and the tactics. So fair to say, might be another couple of weeks before we see him in a red and white shirt.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. The style is pretty unique, isn't it? You know, you touched on it there. The style is pretty, not for particularly for the midfielders, but I can't imagine many centre-halves will have been overlapping him at Everton and with England and places like that. So yeah, it will take a bit of time for him to adjust to his new surroundings. It was a point I saw raised this morning, actually, that as Paul touched on there, you know, he wanted to come. They wanted him to come for a while. It didn't get done earlier in the window for various issues that he touched upon. Could he have been trading with United a bit sooner, maybe? You know, as a free agent, could they have got him in a bit sooner? I think that's a fair question that I saw raised this morning. Somewhere online, that'd have helped that process on a little bit further, I would imagine. Yeah, he'll be getting up to speed like a lot of United's players, like Souza, like Hamer. You know, he'll be doing that on the job, he'll be learning on the job almost, won't he? Which will accelerate it, you'd imagine. And then, you know, possibly there's a cup game in a couple of weeks' time that he might get. Which is not ideal at this stage, but that's the predicament they're in, isn't it? That's the sort of, that's what has to be done. So yeah, I'd be surprised if we saw him for on tomorrow night, definitely. And then obviously after that is a tough one against City. I don't imagine many people get thrown in, kind of in the deep end in that one, and then maybe that Lincoln game, and then going forward from there. Into the international break after they play Everton, I believe, his old club. Obviously, they'll be desperate to play in that one and kind of maybe prove a few people wrong. But yeah, a few weeks, I'd imagine, to get him up to full speed, and then he'll be keen to make up for lost time on a few fronts, I suppose, after that.
We'll very briefly touch on what potentially happening next in the transfer market. Cameron Archer appears to be the main target. From our point of view, how far on are things there? Are they any further on than when we last spoke? Does he remain a target of Sheffield United?
Yes, we understand so, yeah. Yeah, and you can see why. You know, he's a player they've been interested in going back to at least January. We did a piece on that last week where he'd been lined up to come in January and sort of get that promotion push over the line. The budget didn't quite allow for that. And then he went to Borough and obviously scored 11 and 20, I think it was, to sort of push United very close at one stage. So, yeah, he remains a target. The only issue, the only concern for me is that everyone's talking about Archer and Tommy Doyle now coming in, and that will complete everything. They're still two players who've barely played Premier League football. Do you know what I mean? We understand, everyone knows what Tommy Doyle can do from last season. He's a damn fine player. Cameron Archer's record speaks for itself. But still, you know, if those two players do come in, and everyone I've seen on the fan base that we're sorted, then we're flying. That's still a big ask for two players to come in to a brand new league almost. The Archer's had a couple of minutes, you know, for Villa here and there, but not a great deal at all. And Tommy Doyle's obviously, most of his footballs came in the Championship with United. So as exciting as those two players are, as good as those two players are, as much as I hope they do sign, I do kind of have concerns that, you know, everything's been pinned on them almost. It's almost like those two players will come in, they will help us survive. No problems, lad, you know, we're sorted. And still, you know, they'll have to take time to adjust to the Premier League and get used to the levels and that kind of stuff. It's not like these are two established Premier League players that are going to come in and just cruise it. Do you know what I mean? That's my sort of concern, but that's in the back of my mind when I keep seeing people.
Plus the fact that Tommy Doyle was there last year, so you know better off if he's here again.
Yeah.
In terms of numbers as much as anything else.
Yeah, and that's just the name that I plucked out of it, you know, but people talked about McAtee again, the player who's not played a great deal of Premier League football. You know, I think it'd be a big ask to put on these young boys' shoulders. We've seen it again. I know we touched on it earlier in the week with comparing Archer to Rian Brewster, not as players, but in terms of their similar sort of path. They both scored goals in a Championship. They both scored goals for England under-21s. They both come from established Premier League clubs, or will hopefully come from established Premier League clubs for United. I think, you know, Rian's not set the world alight in front of goal. I think that's fair to say. And obviously, if Cameron Archer does come, you know, we'll hopefully get up to speed a bit quicker than that. But I think that's a kind of cautionary tale that, you know, the fact that you've scored goals in a champ and you've scored goals for England and you're highly rated and you've come from a Premier League club. Archer does remain a big target. You know, Villa, if they let him go on a permanent, they'll demand all sorts of buyback clauses and sell clauses, which is fine. That's their prerogative, is their asset. It makes sense for them to protect it. Yeah, and after all I said that, if he does come, I think it'll be a very exciting signing. I don't want anyone to think, you know, that I'm kind of talking it down. I think he'll be an exciting player to arrive. I just think that there needs to be a bit of caution about him or anyone that comes in who's not really played this level before, because it is a huge step up and a couple of big names, a couple of big signings, relatively Sheffield United standards, you know, doesn't automatically mean that, you know, everything's rosy and, you know, let's start planning for Europe sort of thing. You know, there's a big step to be made, but it needs to be made because they are light still. You know, the signs of Davis and Hamer and Souza do plug the gaps, but there still are gaps, as you touched on earlier, especially the top end of the pitch. Yeah, and we touched on it again earlier, didn't we? They need to score goals. You need to stay in this division, you need to score goals. And if you don't do that, then there's only one, sadly, there's only one outcome, isn't there?
Indeed. We're coming up towards the end of the podcast. I'm throwing you in the deep end here because I haven't given you any preparation for this whatsoever. But it's time for a little bit of trivia where we test Danny's knowledge of the upcoming fixture. I've kept it easy because I haven't actually told you about it and I threw it together very quickly. I haven't got any for this section of the podcast, but I think on later. Anyway, I'm going to ask Danny three questions around Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest. Question number one, are you ready? That wasn't question number one. The question one was coming up. This is probably the hardest of the three. Which former Blades scored the winner in a 2-1 win for Forest at the City Ground in September 2017?
Testing me now.
I can't remember this. So,
all right, and you've set the question.
I do know the answer because I looked it up, but I can't remember it actually happening.
Which former Blades scored the winner for Forest?
For Forest, yeah.
In 2017. No idea. Go on.
Kieran Dowell.
Dowell, wow.
See?
Yeah, I hope that's the hardest one.
It is the hardest one. Okay, question number two. Name five Blades who have also played for Forest.
Just going back to the first question, by the way. Should that have been future Blade?
I know. I do realise whenever you read it back to me, I thought, yeah, that would have looked like he played for United before you went there.
Yeah. I'm so, stalling there because I didn't get it. I'm trying to save some face.
That's all right. I'll let you off then.
Players who play for United and Forest.
Yeah, just five.
Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yeah.
Kieran Dowell.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, I'm going to go with.
Andy Reid, yeah.
Yeah. David Johnson.
Yeah.
That's a niche one for you, isn't it?
You've made these more difficult for yourself, I think.
And I'm going to chuck in Dean Henderson.
Dean Henderson, yeah. There are some very obvious ones there, obviously.
Who was the obvious ones?
Well, there's some who are in the team right now. Well, there's obviously Billy Sharp. There's obviously Jack Robinson is on the list. I haven't got all these all written down. Just thinking off the top of my head. David McGoldrick.
Of course.
I'm not saying anymore. Okay, last one, and this is easy. Who missed the decisive penalty in the playoff semi-final defeat to Forest seasons ago?
You're making me relive it now. Morgan Gibbs-White.
Indeed.
So unfortunate.
I'm sure he'll
be the last. Yeah, the last impact as a Blades player after making such an unbelievable impact. That's the last kick as a United player. Football's cruel in it sometimes.
I have a feeling he may well be reminded of it tomorrow night, should he play, which we would expect he will do. That's us for this week. Thank you, Danny. We'll be back next week to maintain, to lift things, keep everybody positive, I think is the best way of putting it. Hopefully, there will be a positive result comes from Friday night's trip to the City Ground. Keep up with everything Blades related, new signings, features, interviews, the inside scoop from Bramall Lane, galleries and loads more on thestar.co.uk/football. Follow us at The Star Blades on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll see you next time on The Star Blades podcast. Thanks a lot.